We're up to Yeshaya, Perek Mem Zayin. It's been a while since we last learned. We're in the general section that's dealing with the Nechama, with the comforting, the Nevuahs about how the future, the Geula, the redemption will come. And here the Navi goes back to discussing Bavel, the demise of the Babylonian Empire. Mem Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Rediyu Shvi Al Afar, get down, Ushvi Al Afar, and sit on the dirt, Besulas Bas Bavel, the Besula, the virgin daughter of Bavel. Besula meaning she was never controlled, like a Besula who's never been married, never lived with any man. Bavel has not yet been conquered by anybody else. And they're going to get down and sit on the dirt. Shavila Aretz Ein Kisei, sit on the ground without a chair. Bas Kastim, the daughter of the Chaldeans. Kastim is the nation that lived in Babylonia. Kiloso Sifi Yikru Loch, they will no longer call you Rakov Anuga, delicate and dainty. The times of luxury and being pampered are over. Bavel's now going to sit on the ground. There's no royalty, no monarchy. They're going to go into exile. We're in the middle of talking about the prakim, the chapters that deal with the consolation. And yet, here we're dealing with Bavel again. This is after the Churban Bayis Rishon, after the first, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, the previous perek discussed the idols of Bavel. So we have been discussing Bavel. In Perek Mem Vav, the Navi mocked the idols like as if they were crouching and squatting and they were constipated, they couldn't relieve themselves, and made fun of these idols that they treated as if they had life to it, but of course, they're lifeless, they're not able to do anything. So we dealt with the idols of Bavel, and now we're dealing with the monarchy and the people of Bavel. And it would seem, on one level, perhaps, it's the contrast, that the enemies of Klal Yisrael will get their punishment. And we're talking here about the consolation and the nechama. We have in Yeshaya, Hisnari mi ofar, kumi, to that Klal Yisrael is going to like shake off the dirt and get up from Golos and get up from our suffering, and we're once again going to arise from the ashes and we're going to arise to our greatness. And on the other hand, Bavel, that was such a mighty country, is going to have a demise and they're going to be now in the dirt. So it could be it's there for the contrast. I would think possibly it's also noteworthy that the Nevuahs of consolation, it's been a long time. It hasn't come yet. We've talked about the Geula, Va'afa Pishi Ismameya, even though Mashiach is delayed, Im Kol Zeh Achakalo, but with all of this, I'm waiting for Mashiach, B'chol Yom Shiova, whenever he'll come. And Yeshaya said many, many Nevuahs about the ultimate Geula. And they haven't happened yet. We're waiting. It's hundreds, thousands of years. Now, the truth is, the Gemara says is a 2,000-year span, which is called Yemos HaMashiach. When Mashiach can come, it's the time that is ripe for Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva already thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, which was after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's not yet 2,000 years from then. But this time span of Yemos HaMashiach, it's not like it's past the limit, in ours, it's time. The deadline is rapidly approaching. But we're still within the time of Yemos HaMashiach. When Yeshaya said these Nevuahs, it was during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it was far, far before this. Perhaps Yeshaya put these Nevuahs in. These Nevuahs were said maybe 200 years before Bavel was destroyed. He said it in the latter part of Bayis Rishon, of the first Beis HaMikdash. When Yeshaya Hanavi said this, he said Nevuah is that Klal Yisrael will be comforted. And he said Nevuah is that Bavel would be destroyed. And everything was way in the future. But by putting this right in the middle, as we're reading about all of the Nechama and the comforting for Klal Yisrael, right in the middle, take a look at what he said about Bavel. And he said it maybe 200 years before. But we'll see the Pesukim exactly how it happened. So you see that the Nevuah has happened. Everything the Navi says happened or will happen. We're still around. The Jewish people's here. Life goes on. We're waiting. We're waiting for Mashiach. But in the middle, he puts in some Nevuahs that we can actually see have happened. It was told in advance before there ever was a Churban even. So this is way before they had the Babylonian Empire. When Yeshaya was speaking, it was still under the Assyrian Empire, Ashur, Sancheiriv. It was a different world power. And yet he already foretold there's going to be the Churban, and Bavel's going to get their destruction, as we'll see. So it's put in right here to remind us that the chapters of Nechama will also come true. B'mehirah v'yameinu. So on Yeshaya Perek Mem Zayin, Rediu Shvi al Afar, get down and sit on the dirt. Besulas Bas Bavel, the Besula, the daughter of Bavel, who's never been controlled by anyone else. The Malbim describes it as a Bavel being a princess. And the princesses, the king was killed, and the princess sits on the ground. She's mourning her father, her ancestors was killed, and she's mourning over them. After the week of Shiva goes by, after the time of mourning is over, she gets up and she figures, well, now she's the queen. Her father, the king, died, she's the queen. But she finds out that in the meantime, when her father, the king, died, other people took over the government. She wakes up a week or whatever amount of time later, it's it, she's lost it. There's no malchus, no monarchy left anymore. Rediu Shvi al Afar. The Navi says, get down and sit on the dirt. And Afar is a term that's used by a mourner. He's Olel Ba'afar Karno, his horn, his glory, is wallowing and rolling in the dirt. That sitting on the dirt is the sign of an ovel, a mourner. And Rediu Shvi al Afar Besulas Bas Bavel. So too Bavel sitting in the dirt. And they're mourning over the fact that their king has been killed, which we'll discuss what happened was Nebuchadnezzar was the beginning of the Babylonian Empire. He was followed by a king Evil Merodach, and then by Belshazzar. It didn't last too long. This king Belshazzar is the one that we have the story of the writing on the wall in the Sefer Daniel, that he saw a hand writing on the wall, and it was a cryptic message, meaning that Bavel is going to be, the Babylonian Empire is finished. But Belshazzar was the last king. And there was a battle with Paras and Madai, with the Persian Empire, and he was successful. After this writing on the wall, Belshazzar was killed by his officers. At the same time, that same night, Persia made a regrouped and attacked again. And then they conquered the land and they took over. And then it became the empire of the Persian Empire. That's the historical context. Rediu Shvi al Afar Besulas Bas Bavel. Sit on the ground, the Besulas Bas Bavel, and mourn the fact that their king has been killed. And then, even afterwards, they try to regroup and make another leader, but it's too late. Shvi la'aretz ein kisei. Now, here the term is aretz, not like sitting on the offer like a mourner. They're sitting on the ground. But ein kisei, there's no throne. You can't get up from the morning and take over the monarchy. There is no monarchy. The land has been conquered. Shvila Oretz Ein Kisei Bas Kastim, the nation of the Kastim, has no longer any throne. Kilo Sosifu Yikru Loch, they'll no longer call you Rakov Anuga, delicate and dainty. Raka means by nature, somebody who's been raised in a life of luxury. Their nature is to have it easy. They're not used. And there's the natural, somebody born into royalty is, from birth, he's not used to the rigors and the difficulty of working hard. And of course, as they grow up in the lap of luxury, they get used to by habit having it easy. Raka is the nature. Their nature is that they're delicate. And Vanuga is the way that they've been raised, the way they've lived, they've been pampered and dainty. Bubbles had an easy life, till now. But now the punishment is coming and they're no longer going to call them a Raka Vanuga. And again, it's compared to the young girl, Besulas Bas Bovel, the Bas Kastin, the young girl that very often is raised and doesn't have as difficult a life. And all of a sudden, she gets married and she's got a family. All of a sudden, you can't compare the carefree days when she was single and young to when she begins the struggle and the battle of life. But she's been young and dainty and had it easy till now. Kechirei Chaim. Get a millstone. V'tachani kamach, and grind flour. Grind up the grain, make it into flour. Either it's a sign of the fact that now they're going to be avodim, they're going to be slaves to Persia, and they're going to have to work hard. They're going to have to work hard like a slave. Or it could be the idea is that they're going to be going into Golos. They're going to be going into exile. And they got to prepare to take those stones and grind together a little something to eat. But Kechirei Chaim, take the grindstones of Tachani Komach and grind up to make flour. Gali Tzamoseich. Expose your hair. Tzamosech actually is the parts of the body that are covered with knots and they're tied together, perhaps like somebody has a kerchief, a woman wears some type of kerchief or snood and ties it around the head to hold the hair under the cover. Other Mephorshim say it's at the end by the elbow or by the knees. There's something that holds the clothing tightly that shouldn't flap up, it shouldn't expose the areas above that. But Gali Tzamoseich, the areas that are normally covered, the hair or the other parts of the body, Gali Tzamoseich, now expose your hair. Chesbi Shovel. Shovel is like a shevil, a path. Either it means Chesbi Shovel, uncover the roads, get prepared to go into exile. Clear the water, improve the drainage, get rid of the snow, make a path, chespi shovel. Or it means chespi shovel to bare a leg, to uncover their foot because they're now going to be walking barefoot like exiles. Gali shok, expose a thigh, which is ivri naharos, when you cross the river. Normally walking on the road, their thigh is covered, but when they're crossing the river, they lift up their clothing. But these are all signs of going into exile. Tigol ervoseich, your erver, your nakedness will be exposed. Gam teiroech erposeich, and your embarrassment will be seen. Nokomekoch, I will take revenge. V'lo efka odom, and I won't allow myself to be entreated by anybody. Nobody will pray on behalf of Bavel. Nobody will take up their cause. Bavel will get the punishment and Hashem will not relent. and will not accept any entreaties. The Gemara learns out in Brachos the fact that it says Gali Shok to expose a thigh, and then it says Tigol Ervoseich. You're embarrassed. Your nakedness will be exposed. The Gemara says in Brachos that Shok Beisha Erva. The Gemara in Brachos on Chof Dalid that the thigh of a woman has a din like an erva, like the parts of the body that are covered. And there's actually a whole discussion in halacha what that means. One explanation is simply that when a person is learning Torah or he's saying a bracha, he can't be looking at a part of a woman that's normally covered, even if it's his wife. But when he's learning Torah, when he's saying brachos, things like that, that has a din of an erva, gali shok the thigh, and he would not be able to say brachos, he would not be able to learn Torah facing that. But this is all a sign of the degradation of Bavel, that they're going to expose, they won't have the aunt, they won't be dressed in a dignified manner. I saw recently there was it's a book put out by Art Scroll. It's Rav Mendel and His Wisdom. It's a sefer about Rav Mendel Kaplan, who was a Rebbe in the Philadelphia Yeshiva for many, many years. Anyways, he was in China with a Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai. And he mentions over there, he's contrasting the way the world was in those days. He said it was very, very hot. The temperature got, you know, the 100 degrees. It was very hot in China. But he said everyone in those days used to wear long robes and they all covered themselves. And there was a certain dignity that you could sense among them. As a picture in the book, there was one of the people who had come over with you, who was also in Shanghai, was the Amshin of a Rebbe. And he was, this assumption of a Rebbe, had like the sleeves of his clothing went past his hands, that he was like totally covered. But there was a certain sense of, he was saying the whole society was, certainly among the tzaddikim and the gedolim and Klal Yisrael was even more, but even the goyim to an extent recognized the dignity in covering the physical. That we're not just a physical body like an animal. There's the spiritual, the ruchnius. And therefore we cover to hide, to downplay the physical side. But what we see in this pasuk is, Bavel is going to lose their honor. They're not going to have a throne. They're going to take the grindstones and work hard. Exposing their hair. Revealing, bearing a leg, gali shok, exposing the thigh, ivri naharos, to go through the rivers. Tigol ervoseich, your nakedness will be exposed, v'gam teiroach erposeich, and your embarrassment will be seen. The Navi is saying that Bavel is going to be conquered by Paras, by the Persian Empire. Koresh is going to take over, and then they'll be exiled. First, Gali Tzamosech, the hair will be exposed. Chespi Shovel, and the leg will be bared. And as they continue in their exile, they have to cross rivers. Gali shok, they expose the thigh. But the clothing gets torn and ripped. And as a result, tigol ervoseich, they cross through the rivers and they've been traveling on the roads with all the obstacles, going through the thorns. And as a result, they're not dressed properly. Their clothing gets ripped and torn. Tigol ervoseich, and gam teiroech erposeich, and their embarrassment will be seen. Nokom Ekoch. And now Hashem says, I'm going to take Nekoma, the revenge. Bavel is the ones that destroyed Yerushalayim and burned the Beis HaMikdash. And now Hashem is going to show the punishment of Bavel. V'lo Efka Adam. And I won't accept any entreaties, any prayers nobody will seek to help Bavel. You know, even by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Paro said to Moshe, Hispalo, you know, to daven for me. Daven for me. You don't find by Bavel, the destruction came suddenly, and even though Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall, but you don't find that he was asked to daven to save Bavel. Lo efka adam, nobody entreated, nobody davened for Bavel. Another explanation Rashi brings is lo efka adam, I won't have to beg anybody, I won't have to request from anybody to take my nekama. People will be happy to throw off the yoke of Bavel. The destruction will come suddenly, and lo efka adam, it won't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call on anybody to do it. Go aleinu and pasuk dalet. This is the continuum. Go aleinu Hashem tzvako shmo, and the reason is because our Redeemer, Hashem tzvako shmo, is Hashem who's tzvakos. Tzvakos meaning he controls all the hosts. He controls everything in the world, and therefore everything's at his control, and he's going to bring it all to destroy Bavel. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Yisrael, who shows that has this relationship with Klal Yisrael. Shvi Dumon, sit silently. Uvoi Bachoshech, and go into the darkness. Bas Kastim, the daughter of Kastim, the nation of the Chaldeans. Now we're discussing the fact that they're not just losing their monarchy, but they're going to lose their wealth. They're going to be poor, sitting in the darkness. Kilo sosifi yikru loch. They'll no longer continue to call you Giveris Mamlachos, the mistress of the kingdoms. They'll no longer be the king over the other kings, the leader among the nations. Their greatness has ended. Kotzafti al ami. I became angry at my people. The word ketzef, to be angry, is a tremendous anger. It's more than, there's other words, kas and chema. Kotzafti is to have a tremendous anger. And yet, al ami, Hashem says, they're my people. I have a love for Klal Yisrael. And after all of the Nevi'im and all the centuries of warnings, it was time for the Churban. There was a tremendous ketzef and anger. But it's still my people. Chilalti nachalosi. And I degraded my heritage, and I took their special holiness and greatness, and I was mechalel it, I degraded it. V'enem b'yodeich. And I delivered them into your hand. Lo samt lahem rachamim, but you didn't show them any compassion. Al zokein hichbarat uleich ma'od, and on the zokein, the elderly, you made your yoke very heavy. Again, the Malbim compares Yisrael in the hands of Bavel like a free man, not a slave, but a free man, a ben chorin. And he rebelled against his father. So his father took an Ishbeli Ya'al, a wicked person, and he said, you know what? Because you rebelled and you acted in such a terrible manner, my son rebelled against me. Even though I gave him such a status in life, things were so good, and he rebelled, he's going to have to suffer under the control of a scoundrel, a bad person. Now, this person who's in charge of the boy should realize to himself that, first of all, he's being, the punishment that this boy is having is the very fact that he's now under the control of this terrible man. He doesn't have to give him any punishment or any beatings or any suffering. The very fact that he's lost his status and he's subservient and he's got to serve this terrible person, that itself is a punishment. And the other thing he should keep in mind is that this is the man's son, and he's punishing his son. But eventually they'll make up and they'll once again have they'll reconcile, and he's going to be left as the bad person who caused the suffering. So even though he's in charge, he shouldn't cause any needless suffering. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And Hashem says, I was angry because Klal Yisrael acted the way they did. And therefore I degraded them. And I gave them over into your hand. But you know what happened? First of all, instead of realizing that it's enough of a punishment that we're subservient and that we're in Golus and that we're dependent on the nations of the world, that alone is the greatest suffering to the honor of Klal Yisrael. But that wasn't sufficient. Lo samt lahem rachamim. You didn't show them rachamim. You didn't have the mercy which would normally be shown to everyone. And even the aged, the elders, the zokein. But al zokein hichbaret uleich ma'od. Even on the zokein, the old person, you placed a heavy, heavy yoke. And in terms of remembering that we're Hashem's children, and this might be a temporary punishment, but you should realize that eventually Hashem is going to once again show us His love. But Vatomri, you said to yourself, Lo'olam eye gevores, you thought forever I will be the mistress, I, Bavel, will be the leader of the world. Ad lo samt ela libech, so you didn't take these things to heart. Lo zachar tachrisa, and you didn't realize what the end is going to be, that once again Klal Yisrael will have their greatness. But you acted in a way as if you, Bavel, would be the leader forever. And therefore, Bavel's going to get their punishment. The Ramban, in Parshas Lech Lecha, by the Bris Bein Abisorim, we've mentioned this before, but Avram Avinu was told that we're going to be slaved, we're going to be worked, and suffer for 400 years. V'gamis ha'goy asher yavodu, the nation that enslaves the Jews, don anochi, I'm going to judge. Whoever causes suffering to Klal Yisrael will get their punishment. And Bereishis, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Dalid. And the Ramban over there brings our Pasuk over here, in Yeshaya. And the question is, if Hashem said we're going to suffer in Egypt, so why are the Mitzrim punished? Why are the Goyim punished for making us suffer if that's what Hashem wanted? And the Ramban, one answer that the Ramban gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different ways of bringing punishment. And there's a certain range. There's a punishment that has to be brought on Klal Yisrael. And if the Goyim, Hashem will allow the Goyim perhaps to do more, depending on the situation. Sometimes they do more than they were supposed to. They do not follow what Hashem wanted. Hashem, for instance, said by Mitzrayim, will be enslaved and oppressed, but He didn't say that the children would be killed. What is the permit for them to take the Jewish babies and throw them in the river? How could they kill the children? It didn't say they'd be killed. So Hashem allows it and is of course aware of it, but they can't say they were doing the will of Hashem. Hashem would have brought another punishment. Hashem would have had His other calculations, how to make everything work out. But over here, which is basically the idea of what the Ramban, of the way the Malbim is explaining, that Kotzafti Alami, I was angry against my people, Chilalti Nachlosi, and I degraded my heritage, V'etnein B'yodech, and I've given them over into your hand. And the very fact that they're in your hand, that alone is a punishment. The fact that Lo Samt Lahem Rachamim, you didn't show them mercy, you made the yoke heavy on the zaken, on the elderly. And you said, forever you'll be in charge. You didn't think of the fact that ultimately Hashem still loves the Jewish people. For that, Bavel will get their punishment. Va'ata now in Perek Ches. Va'ata now, Shimi Zos Adina. Hear this now. Adina, you pampered, comparing her to like a pampered girl, a pampered lady. The Adina Hayosheves Levetach, who dwells securely. Ha'omra Bilvava, who says in her heart, Aniv Avsiod, only I, and none but me. Bavel feels they're the only power. Lo Eishev Almana, I shall not sit as a widow. V'lo Eida Shchol, and I shall not know bereavement. And again, the Malbim gives a beautiful mashal for this. There are two ways that the monarchy, that the kingdom will end. One is if the king is killed. So the king is like the husband of the country. He's the one who's in charge, who's supposed to provide for the needs for all the citizens and take care of them. And of course, it's their efforts that build up the country. But the king is the one who's in charge. If the king is killed, and that's by, let's say, an internal revolt, there's a rebellion, a mutiny, and they kill the king, so the country is now like an almana. It's like the widow who's lost her husband, they've lost their leader. The other way is if the enemy from the outside attacks, and they conquer the country, and they exile the people, they defeat the army, the citizens. That's compared to shechol, to bereavement. That the country no longer has its people. The people went into exile, they're gone. That's the idea in shechol. Bavel felt that neither thing could happen. They're the Adina. Listen now, Adina, you pampered one. Hayosheves Levetach, who sits securely. Sitting securely meaning, we'll see in a moment, that Loeshev Almana. They were sure that they wouldn't be like an Almana. There's a certain security that the government is intact. There won't be any rebellion, any coups, any mutiny. Loeshev Almana. I won't be an Almana because I'm secure. Ha'omra Bilvava, and the second point, is Bavel says in her heart, Aniv Avsiod, I am the only other kingdom. There is no other country that could wage war against me. That corresponds to the V'lo Eida Shchol. I won't know a bereavement. My citizens will not be exiled. Everything is secure. My king is safe. My country is secure. And the empire will continue. But these two things, both of these, will happen reg on a moment, biyom echad, on one day. Shechol ve'almon, there'll be a bereavement, and there'll be widowhood, which as we explained is beautiful, just knowing what happened, but this nevuah was said hundreds of years before, that in one night, Belshazzar was killed by his officers, and Bavel became like the almana, like the widow who has no king. And at the same time, Persia attacked, and they conquered the country. Shechol, the citizens were exiled, were conquered, and Bavel lost their common man, their shechol, their people. So these two things happen reg on a moment. Biyom echad on one day, shechol v'almon, kisumam bo olayich. They happened in their fullness, completely. Other Meforshim explain that kisumam, what happened to Bavel, was not that the whole world was in an upheaval. It wasn't like the countries were being, there were revolutions all over the world. Kisumam, this idea of the countries losing their independence, being overthrown, that was finished. Kisumam, this type of activity had finished in the world. And yet, bo alayich, the one place where this happened was to Bavel. Paras, the Persian Empire, conquered Bavel. Bavel was the one empire overthrown at this time. Bo alayich, it came on you, berov kishofayich, with abundance of your witchcraft, ba'otzmas chavarayich ma'od, with a great intensity of your chavarayich enchantments. The Gemara says, chover is certain, they would say certain charms or enchantments and be able to gather certain powers and forces or creatures. But Bava was very involved in this type of witchcraft and enchantments. And Bativtechi Bara'oseich, you trusted in your evil. Amart Ein Rawani, you said no one sees me. Chachmoseich V'daiteich, your wisdom and your knowledge, Hisho V'vosech, that's what misled you. That's what emboldened you to do the wrong thing. Vatomi Belibech, and again you said in your heart, Aniv Avsiod, only I and none but me. There are two reasons why somebody who does wrong will change his ways. One is if the person realizes that others see what he's doing. His activities are noted, and he's embarrassed and he's afraid that others know what he's doing. The other reason is that a person himself takes an honest intellectual, he takes stock of his situation. He says, you know, I'm living the wrong life. This is not the way to behave. Bavel had neither of these reasons to change. As we're saying now in Pasuk Yud, you trusted in your evil, Amart Ein Rawani, and you said, nobody sees me. So if you feel that you're hiding and nobody's aware of what you're doing, you don't feel the need to change. And it's not like you're going to feel that what I sinned was in a spirit of foolishness, and I really shouldn't have behaved the way I did. But here, Chochmosech Fidaitech Hishovivosech. It's your wisdom and your knowledge that Shovivosech made you wild and misled you and gave you the strength to do your wickedness. So what you did was a calculated, well thought out plan. Vatomri Belibech, and you said in your heart, Aniva Apsiot, it's I and no one else. Witchcraft and enchantments and all these things are, nowadays, we've mentioned before, as the koach of Kedusha, holiness, gets less in the world, the power, the forces of evil, if you'd have it like that, also are weakened. In other words, in an age when there's prophecy, and people say over the word of Hashem, and they can say nevuahs like we see in Yeshaya that happen. So there has to be some type of counter force where people are able to do things which seem to be out of the control of nature, a supernatural miracles and forces. It's been pointed out that, you know, it's interesting because this idea of like witchcraft and things like that, it's like universal. It was all over the world. You know, whether it was in Europe, they believed in, you know, in witches and in witchcraft, and, you know, the American Indians, and you have the Africans, and all over the world, they all believe in these types of, you know, sorcery and witchcraft and charms and spells. And it seems there was some type of power, which there isn't nowadays. So nowadays we look at it all like a bunch of foolishness. But Bavel, and as we're learning here, that Bavel placed their faith in these types of activities, and they were the world empire, But once Bavel ended, that was the beginning of the demise of these activities. That even though there were still people who believed in it, but this was like the last empire that it seems was built on this type of activity and power. Uvo alayich ro'o. Misfortune will befall you. Lo seidi shachra. You will not know how to pray. You won't know what to do about it. And as the Malbim explains, it started with that writing on the wall. Belshazzar had his big party, and all of a sudden a hand appeared and wrote these words on the wall. They saw the handwriting. What do you do about it? They called Daniel. Daniel said, that's it. Bavel, everything's been added up and calculated, and the Babylonian Empire is going to be broken. Menei, menei, tekelu parson. Everything's been calculated and weighed. That's it. The empire is over. But what do you do about it? The evil has come. Lo seidi shachra. You won't know who to seek out. Who to daven. What should you do? And then the next step. V'sipol alayich hova. There'll come a sudden, a tragedy will befall. That lo suchli kapra. And you won't be able to remove it. The king is killed. Belshazzar is killed by the officers. So what do you do? And the final step, v'savo alayich pisom, and it'll come on you suddenly, a shoah, a disaster, lo seidoi, that you're unaware of, that you've never known, that all of a sudden the armies of Paras, of the Persian Empire, come and conquer, run over the country. Indino b'chavarayich, stand fast now, b'chavarayich, with your enchantments, uvarov kishofayich, and with abundance of your witchcraft, b'asher yagad minuroyich, with all the things you've toiled from your youth, whatever activities Bavel had, whatever knowledge they accumulated and amassed, ulai tuchli hoil. See, perhaps you'll be able to avail yourself. Ulai tarotzi. Perhaps you'll gain strength. See if all of these enchanters and people of the witchcraft can stop the armies from coming. Ulai tuchli hoil. Perhaps they could help. See if they could do anything to stop the enemy. And even if they can't stop the enemy, ulai tarotzi. Perhaps they'll give you strength. Which, of course, the Navi's pointing out that all of this will not help. Nileis verov atzo soyich. You've wearied yourself with your many counselors, all the advisors. Everyone has their idea how to solve the country's problems. Yamdu Navi Yoshiuch. But let them stand up for now and save you. The Hovrei Shamayim is the astrologers. It comes from the word Hovrei, like Bora, Bora Kachama, to be clear. The astrologers needed to have a clear sky on a cloudy night. You can't foretell anything. But with a clear sky, Hovrei Shamayim, these astrologers can foretell what's going to be. And there is a certain koach, there is a certain force, but the way the Mephorshim explain, whatever they could see in the skies is short term. It won't tell you what's going to be in years from now. It'll tell you what's going to happen right now. And it's not always clear. Sometimes the message can be misunderstood. The Hovrei Shamayim is the astrologers. Hachozim bakochavim, those that, the stargazers, modim lechadoshim, who can foretell lechadoshim by the new moon, me'asher yavo aloyach, and they can foretell what's going to happen. We've mentioned before, on the Ramah brings down in by Hoshana Rabbah, on Simon Tuf Reish Samach Dalid. Listen to this Ramah. The night of Hoshana Rabbah is brought down in Halacha. Kosvu Harishonim Zal. Sheesh simin betzel halavona. There's a certain sign if you look at the shade of the moon. Baleil Hoshana Rabba, sheyikra lo oli krovov ba'oso ashana. And if you study the moon, and you know what you're looking for in the shade, you can tell what's going to happen to you and your relatives that year. V'yesh mishakosav shein ledaktik bozeh. Others wrote that you should not pay attention to this. Kidei shelo lisro mazle, because that itself can cause a mazel to turn sour. If a person, let's say a person thinks for some reason he's going to get sick today. Chas v'shalom, lo aleinu. But if the person has a mindset, that's it. Today something terrible is going to happen. Today something terrible is going to happen. And he's convinced of it. He's bound, you know, maybe he'll get behind the wheel of the car and just, you know, he'll be too nervous or who knows what. It could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If a person looks at the moon and he thinks whatever, that itself can do damage. Gam ki rabim einam mivinim ha'inin al purio. Besides the fact many people don't even really understand what they're doing. The yoser tov lios tamim v'lo lachgor asidos. Kenal. And it's better to be complete with Hashem and don't seek after the future. In other words, you do what's right, you do the mitzvahs to try to look at the moon and figure out what's going to happen that year. But I say it's interesting that the Ramah does mention this concept. But looking at the stars and the moon and basing your plans on it, it's not the Torah way. And not besides the fact that they don't really understand it and it's usually short term, but Yavdu Novi Yoshiuch, the Novi says to Bavel, let them get up now and save you, the astrologers and the stargazers. They can tell the new things, new developments, by looking at the new moon. Hinei hoyu chikash. Behold, they've become like straw. All of your advisors and enchanters and all these wise men of Bavel, they became like straw. Eish serafosam. Fire burned them. Lo yatzilus nafsha miyad lahova. They could not save themselves from the power of the flame. There's two differences between a flame and a fire. Straw that's burned, that just lets out a flame, but there's no, it's burning on straw. So first of all, it's the flame can burn some things that are easily combustible right there, but it can't burn at a distance. It's not like a slow-moving, intense fire that can burn things. The flame doesn't have the same type of substance. It's vapid. It just blows. It doesn't have the same power to burn at a distance. And after the flame dies down, if it's from straw, there's nothing left. If it's from wood, you have charcoal. These astrologers are like burnt up. But they're not even like a good, slow-burning, powerful fire. They were like straw. Eish serafosam. That fire burned them. Lo yatzilu esnafsha miyad lahava. They could not save themselves from the power of the flame. Meaning they weren't able to protect even the armies that were at a distance, that were coming, the flames at a distance. But the astrologers are like the straw, and it doesn't, it has no protection even on a flame that's at a distance. Ein gacheles lachmam, and also there's no gacheles, no coals, no charcoal lachmam to warm yourself up with afterwards. Ur l'sheves negdo, a fire by which you could sit. There's no benefit at all. Bavel is going to be destroyed and their advisors didn't do anything for them. Kein hoyu loch asher yogat. And so they, those advisors with whom you toiled, what you put your effort in, that you should have good information, good sources, they were as helpful as straw. So harayich minu rayich. And all of those merchants that you dealt with minu rayich from your youth, ish le'evro toh, each one scattered and straight in his own direction, ein moshiach, there's no one to save you. There's no benefit afterwards. Sometimes the government is destroyed, but at least the commerce, the economy can continue. There might be no army afterwards. You know, the country's destroyed, Germany, Japan, whatever, after World War II. So there's no army. They're no longer that power, but they can have an economy. They can build up. But here, they're like straw where there's no benefit afterwards. The government collapses. And so charayich, minorayich, all those merchants that you had from the early days, they've all scattered in their directions. Bavel had their downfall, and it never again came back to be the world power that it was. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they mistreated Klal Yisrael, and Hashem will take their punishment that they'll never again become the world power that they were. Stop here.